Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Day of the week for Jesse on the program edition. I had someone in the YouTube comments say that I was being a PTO something. Look, Jesse can take all the time off he wants. We have fun with him. We love Jesse. He makes our show better.
I'm also not using PTO tomorrow.
And that's what I said.
Scheduling. Yeah.
You're just not showing up for the most important part of your job, which is our show.
Flex scheduling?
Yeah.
I don't know if I, what are you, the Jets? You're flexing out of prime time to go and work marginal hours?
2 days in a row we're going to start with the same thing?
We're not. We're going to continue with the additions, including the... I kind of, sort of called Jordan Love a liar yesterday edition.
Oh, wow.
Oh. And later he agreed with me edition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need. On WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios.
Whew, that's a late game tonight.
9:30. To show you how screwed
pregame,
how screwed up the NCAA is. What are they doing?
10 o'clock first serve.
Well, now wait.
What
a
are
minute.
We doing?
All right. By the way, that's Mark Tauscher, Packers Hall of Famer, from his undisclosed location.
This is what happens when your conference includes teams on the West Coast. Blame the NCAA for everything you want, but USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington being in the conference leads to matchups like this.
No.
Sorry.
Break
what
football.
Happens.
No. Break football away, like everybody knows is going to happen, and stop sending kids during the middle of the week to go row out in California for a day and then fly them back and have them spend 3 days. Let's geographize everything. Football is a different animal. Let football do football, and then let's tighten our geography back up. Okay?
You're going to do that with basketball, too?
Sure.
And do it with hockey?
Well, hockey's already kind of crazy. In the old days, had to go to Alaska.
Indeed.
Hockey's a different animal
and
because
the
not everybody has hockey.
Okay.
So,
top 25 volleyball
matchup
tonight.
What we're seeing here.
Good game.
What we're seeing here and asking Anna and Devin and the volleyball crew is ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
It's dumb.
And Jesse.
Well, no, I'm not worried about Jesse. But
you're not going anywhere. You're going to be in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, for them, it starts at 8 o'clock. That's reasonable. Like, we're here grinding in the steel. Hunter Vaughn, or actually, it's not Hunter. It's Riley and I tonight. 10 o'clock. We're out of here at 2
record,
in the morning tonight.
Jesse, it's not reasonable at all.
No.
Not even close to being reasonable. They had to leave yesterday. They're going to wait around all day. They're going to get back maybe Friday night. I don't know how their flight situation is.
No, they're at UCLA Saturday night, so they're staying.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, back to back.
There you go.
So they get a
It's all good.
Weekend in SoCal.
Idiotic. I don't know if I could be any more blunt. It's idiotic. And then the crew team, they got to fly out there and go row in a couple weeks. Like, what are we doing?
I didn't realize you knew the crew's schedule. That's impressive. God, you're a Badger through and through.
They're opening the Yankees with the Yankees out there in New York on ESPN next year, I saw.
All right. So as much as first of all, I like the Pac-12 flavor to the Big Ten as someone who always enjoyed Pac-12 sports and the Pac-10 when
you
I first started
know
following.
Anything about USC's volleyball? I don't.
And
football,
I'm not,
maybe.
You didn't let
How's
me finish.
How's the Oregon soccer team? How's their field hockey program?
Their volleyball team is, I think, ranked 11th. Their women's soccer team, they don't even have men's soccer, which I thought was interesting.
USC?
No, you just asked me Oregon. Try to keep up with your own questions.
USC.
We play USC. If I had finished my sentence, you would have heard that.
I didn't want to leave dead air and not jump in as I was called out on yesterday. So I don't know how
not
to please you, Jason. I'm not sure which direction
you
want
me
to go.
So hard to please. You're right. So early on in the fall, it was a Friday night. I was writing a story. Was looking for something to watch because there were no Law and Order reruns on that night. And I watched UCLA Wisconsin women's soccer.
Oh, my God.
My late friend Rob Andringa's daughter is on that soccer team, so I was watching that. And I was like, it's 9 o'clock in Wisconsin, and I'm getting to watch the Badgers play on the West Coast. This is great. My complaint would be that there. Stop rolling your eyes, you jackwagon.
Dude, I'm not saying anything.
I'm disappointed that there hasn't been more of the West Coast flavor of the Big Ten for that late night Saturday football game.
You want more of these?
I want the Saturday night football games. I want at least one of the four West Coast Big Ten teams to have like a marquee late game on Saturday night involving a Big Ten team.
Ugh.
It doesn't affect your work schedule.
It actually does a lot of the times. It didn't this particular time, but did you watch that Rutgers USC Friday night 10 p.m. kickoff after the World Series? That was insane. No one was watching that.
I said Saturday. I didn't say anything about Friday nights. But Saturday night, if you get a good matchup, Oregon is the number one team in the country. The Badgers are going to have their
and
hands
Ohio
full.
State. Yep, that's a great matchup. Yep, Oregon-Ohio State.
Sure, let's put it on at 10 p.m. Central Time, and then I could stay up till 1 in the morning watching.
It's not better than 11 a.m.
All right, we've gotten off track. And Jesse, really, this is day 4 of the week. And he's had this Up North Joe content on the rundown.
Had it ready to go for a while.
Every day, like acorns.
I think you guys are going to love this, too. It's taken forever for us to get to it.
All right, well, let's get to this since we're... And as you start to tell the story, I would predict that Tausch will interrupt it, so please go ahead.
So Up North Joe's got a lot of good run on the show this week, especially yesterday.
Works more than you.
I mentioned yesterday that I met him and his wife, Sammy, at a local establishment here in downtown Madison. They were going to the Forward Madison FC semifinal game on last Saturday. So I was able to meet up with them, grab a beverage. And while we were together, Joe went to the bathroom and came back and said, I found $60 under the sink. What should I do with it? So my gut instinct was give it to the bartender. And like, if someone comes looking for their $60, like that's not a small amount of money. I would say give it to the bartender. But if you give it to the bartender, the wrinkle in this is it's a, like all the people, all the patrons of, it was very crowded at this time. It was like 5 o'clock Saturday night, very crowded. Pretty much all the people there are going to the game And my guess is most of the people there are not going to notice they don't have this cash that they dropped in the bathroom under the sink. Joe was alone in the bathroom. There was no one else in the bathroom. So it's like there wasn't anyone he could just say, hey, is this yours? Yes, Tausch.
I wanted to make sure not to interrupt. Was
for
it?
Those of you not watching on video, Tausch raised his hand.
That was very polite.
Was the cash taped under the sink, or was it laying on the urine-soaked floor?
Great question.
Fair question.
It was on the ground.
Urine-soaked.
It was on the ground
sink.
Under the sink. On the ground, very okay. Clearly, so it was not it intended to be there.
Yeah, if it was taped under the sink, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Taped under the sink.
I think yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Go watch some movies. You'll figure it out.
Law and Order would have that covered.
If it's on the urine-soaked floor, well, let me hear what Joe did first.
Joe kept the cash.
Yes! Of course he did!
Because what he was worried about is you give it to what, and the bartenders of this establishment are very friendly, but if you give
sure
it to the bartenders
are.
And no one comes back to claim it, because likely no one's going to come claim it because they're all heading over to the game, if someone's going to end up with it, he would rather end up with it than the bartenders, and you can do more. You can pay it forward, or you could whatever. Like, there's different things you can do.
Pay it Madison with forward. The, right?
Pay it Madison
nice.
Forward. Exactly. Yes. Well done.
Thanks.
Rather than just, you know, donating the cash with the likelihood that the person will never come looking for it, he thought, I'm going to keep it in this instance. He's not a selfish person, but in this particular case, he didn't know what else to do with
Definitely
it.
Definitely not selfish.
And you can't just look around
He's
and wave
around.
You can't wave the cash around. Actually, coincidentally, on Sportsmanlike was talking about this at the end of their show. You can't just wave the
they
cash
They were talking
around.
About Joe
no,
finding
they,
money
they
in
were,
the bar?
They were talking. It was actually a Chinese food delivery that was intended for the person it went to. And that, like, you can't just, you know, wave it around and be like, whose is this? Everyone else is going to claim it. You might as well keep it. Well, you can't just say, whose 60 bucks is this in a very crowded Saturday night establishment where everybody's, like, you know, in big groups buying drinks. Like, everyone's going to say, yeah, that's mine. So,
all right.
I don't know if we did the right thing or not.
All right. I'm sorry. Up North Joe delivers some excellent trivia. I don't see the moral conundrum here. I mean, it's cash. And look, I'm not a cash carrier. I'm a Apple Watch dink guy on the little thingamajig that you swipe your credit card on. I do not carry cash, ever. Sometimes it's a problem at, say, a gymnastics meet, as Tausch has learned, where it's not cash to get in, but it's cash at the concession stand or the opposite. But it is dropped cash. So it's not like... If you were the one who lost the $60, like, are you even going to go to the bar to say, hey, did somebody turn in three $20 bills that I dropped in the bathroom? This is a, even if it's that ABC show, What Would You Do? No one's going to have a problem if they see you on hidden camera finding $60 in an empty bathroom and taking it and pocketing it. Sorry about that. Now, the real question here is, what location of the bathroom would the money have to have been dropped on for you to not pick it up? If it's next to the urinal, if it's in your stall on the floor, like touching the toilet, are you picking this up under all circumstances? Because I got to be honest, if $60 is enough,
that's a night out.
That I don't care if it's in the urinal. I am picking it up. I'm wrapping it in like a hand towel from the dispenser, and I'm going to let it clean it, you know, disinfect it when I get home. But $60 is a lot. I'm picking it out of the urinal. That I'm even taking it that far.
You are not going to do
I am.
That.
No
I am.
Way.
No.
I am. $60?
So if there is a, okay, so if there's $100 within the urine cake, you're going to grab that $100 if it's wet.
Yep.
You're grabbing $100.
I am. Yep.
You're a psychopath.
I'm not. $100? You know how many hangers
you're
I have
infested?
To sell to make $100?
You won't. Oh, I don't even want to go down this road with you. Urine cake infested $100 bill with hundreds of people peeing on it. You're going to go grab it.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I am.
No way.
Okay.
Yep. I am.
Yeah, I
see. Now, am I
what
I
if
gonna...
it's 10 bucks? So 10 no. bucks you're not, but 100 you're going to?
10 bucks I'm not.
90 bucks is going to change your life.
How about 25? $25.
Because you're probably going to get some kind of disease from grabbing it. And what are you going to do with it? You're going to put it in a plastic bag and let it dry out, and then you're going to give it to some swill that doesn't know what the hell's going on, and then they're going to end up putting it in a
plastic bag. You're not just carrying around a plastic bag with you. You're going to, like, it's got to go in your pocket.
No, I'm using a paper towel thing. I'm taking the paper towel.
You wouldn't feel bad when you went into your local, I'm not even going to say a partner because I don't want to associate a partner with this. You're going to go into a local place. Yep. And spend $100 urine cake dollar, and just a unwilling waitress is going to be grabbing it and having to put the little wiping thing through it and all up like this, not realizing that it's been caked by the urine of 100 men? Okay.
Caked by the urine.
All right.
If you had the phrase, caked by the urine of 100 men on today's show, I don't know how you did it, but you've got your bingo.
I don't fully
I'm
going to
spray disinfecting spray on it when I get home. I am definitely that. Look, I'm not making this up.
So if it's laying on the floor, I get it. Uh-huh. But if it is in the cake where people urinate, you're not doing it. And if you do, I guarantee you Paula would say, that is disgusting. Don't you dare do that.
I will go ask her in the break. $100 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Well, Joe, we support you keeping your $60. John on the talk and text line. We
you are disgusted by a coach that didn't wash his hands.
I would definitely wash my hands after I did this thoroughly.
And it doesn't matter. You better live in rubber gloves for years if you're going to grab a urine-soaked $100 bill. I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
I wouldn't think you would take it from under the urinal, let alone in the urinal. That's insanity.
$100 is a lot of money. It is.
If it's laying on the floor, I agree with you.
But isn't the floor of the bathroom disgusting, too? I mean, obviously, the urine cake is more disgusting.
Half of it will be dry. The top half will probably be dry. I could live with that.
So you would pick up a $100 bill in the men's bathroom, though?
I think you'd want to ask to see if it was somebody's. You don't want to take it just straight up.
Well, if you're like up north, Joe, you're alone in the bathroom. There's no one else in there.
It's a conundrum there. But, yeah, you grab it. It's laying on the floor. Somebody's going to grab it. I would agree with that assessment. Okay. But I ain't going to put my hand in a urine-soaked urine cake to grab a $100 bill.
How many times have you said the word urine in the last 2 minutes? That's a lot.
I don't know. You'll have to check the tape.
You and Matt LaFleur waking up with your urine hot and peeing on a $100 bill.
I don't know how to transition here. I'm not going to go to a bathroom. We'll do that with colder services later. But don't spend another winter shivering at home with the wind howling through your windows. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest and no payments for 12 months. Keep your home comfortable and save on energy bills thanks to those customizable windows and doors from Pella. And if you do that, you don't have to go and scrounge in a men's urinal for that $100. You can save all that money just by putting in those new windows. Pella can design them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on the 30th of November. Paula is no way going to say, great idea, Jason.
I am
going to
go ask her right now in the commercial break. I will go ask. You would think that a Packers-centric show during Packers-Bears week, during which one of the hosts suggested that maybe the starting quarterback was a liar, during which a soaked in urine soaked in the urine of 100 men sounds like a punishment from the Old Testament, says Wooly. In which Xavier McKinney has beef with one of the Bears players.
It's a great quote.
Lots
great
of places quote. We could have started this conversation. Instead,
up north, Joe.
Urine
up
soaked
north, Joe.
Urine cake.
Let me tell you something.
He delivers the goods.
I'm not 100% sure because you're putting the Hall of Fame together. Up north, Joe's going to be Rookie of the Year. I don't think anybody.
We don't have those awards. Most improved
he just
listener.
Got it.
Comeback no, listener of the year.
Jim in Sockville.
Up North Joe, just for what Up North Joe did the last 3 weeks, I think he's getting Roy. He's going to Roy it.
All right. If you'd like to text in on our urine conundrum, you can do that, and we will highlight some of the texts. We are not taking calls on this. We're not spending our show talking about a pee-soaked $100 bill. I am standing by my statement, however.
Jesse, is Paula going to say, go grab that hundo and get all that? Is Paula going to agree with Jason's
assessment?
This is
the same family selling wire hangers on Facebook Marketplace, so I'm not going to rule it out.
What do you think? What if Jason put that, and he itemized
would you
it
just
properly
stop?
On Facebook Marketplace, and he said, $100 urine-soaked, urine-caked $100 bill. How much would someone bid to get it?
$90.
$40? I don't know what the depreciation is on that, but it can't be good.
I have an inappropriate story that I'll have to mull whether to tell at some point about my youth, but that's not now.
Chris
we are
Mullen.
Going to talk football on this program, not urine. The soaked by the urine of 100 men. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Years of marriage counts for something. I didn't even finish telling the story. Oh, you grab it. You grab it.
Would she?
Rinse it off.
Would
she
Paula
would
do?
Not.
We're
she
talking
would
about
not.
Cash for those just joining us.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it.
What don't
so
you like
she wants
about
you
it?
To do it, but she yeah. won't do it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't.
You've made that clear. And then I asked
Jesse, do you like that?
No, I don't like it.
I don't like
you
it
gotta
either.
You got to be a team.
Not one bit.
You got to be a
yeah,
team.
Yeah, if you're a team,
aligned.
You're a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She also, so then I said, well, would you then, she's like, you would totally grab it. You would wash it off in the sink. You'd wrap it in paper towel. And then when you got home, you'd wipe it down with a Clorox wipe. And then I said, okay, and then after I did all that, would you go take it and spend it at a store? She said, no, I'd want you to deposit it. So she doesn't. So, again, she's fully supportive of me reaching into the urinal. She wants the $100, does not want
like
to get her hands dirty, literally.
No. Let's
right.
move on.
Yes. You wanted me to ask, and
glad,
I did as you
I'm
told.
Glad we got the answer. I'm just not happy with the answer.
I'm sorry.
It is.
I don't like what I'm hearing.
It is not a good answer at all.
All right. I'm guessing that I'll have to check the YouTube comments, see how I'm faring in there. But speaking of asking things that you were told to ask, I was told to ask Paula this, so I did. I was told by Tausch to ask Do you remember the question you wanted me to ask?
This is a memory
test.
It was
either red zone. I think it was red zone related, and I also wanted to know about the effects of not being able to go under center as much as I think Matt LaFleur wants.
Yeah.
Those are the two things I wanted you to hit on.
So Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel hit on the under center part before I got to that. But I did get to the red zone question, and it turned out to be, I thought, pretty interesting. Here is the question and answer from myself and from the head coach.
You guys, I mean, I think you're third in the league in total offense. You're top 10 in scoring, and yet your red zone numbers are not very good. Does that tell you that if you guys can get that resolved, you could be in a really good spot offensively?
Yes, you would think so. I think there's a lot that kind of goes into that, especially when you look at some of the red zone numbers. Certainly we've had some critical mistakes, whether it's turnovers or whatever it may be, in the red area that's really hurt us. But I also think there's been a couple instances, and this marks you down in your red area where you finish in the red area and maybe you're in victory formation. I know that's happened a handful of times this year. So, you always try to dissect the things you're doing well and what you need to improve upon. And I think this last week definitely gave us a good opportunity to do that. And just some of the mis-ops we've had, whether it's we've had a couple drops down there that's really hurt us. So you just try to correct that stuff. And you would think that if you get that corrected, then you're going to score more points and you're going to be a heck of a lot better than what we are.
Meh.
That was a good answer?
No.
Okay.
That was disappointing.
I was wondering.
I thought I set him up too, right? Like, I could have said, again, I'm not always succinct. I could have said, Matt, you guys are pretty good statistically, but your red zone offense sucks. Mm-hmm. Why? Right? I could have said that.
Yeah.
But I tried to spin it positively of, hey, you get that going, you really got something going on offense if you're already doing these other things, right?
You'll be just handful of urine hundreds in your hands if you get that.
I don't love that answer.
I don't love that answer from a couple of – you always want to be self-aware and you want to promote – but the kneeling on the ball.
We've had a couple of kneel downs in the red zone.
I like the confidence.
Hey, come on, bro.
It seems like something that immediately would say.
In all honesty, I heard that and I kind of tuned out. Like, all right, your red zone hasn't been great. And that's okay. Like, you're not going to be awesome at everything. You have to grow. And that's where you can say, well, you made some mistakes and your penalties. And the blank that needs to get cleaned up, that gets highlighted in the red zone. Okay?
Yeah.
So I don't love that answer. That does not instill a ton of confidence in me. And I'm not 100% sure what I was supposed to get out of that. But whatever it was, I wish I could rescind me asking you to ask him that question because I didn't get anything out of it.
So I've got good news for you. I didn't take that.
You followed up?
Well, sort of. In a manner of speaking, I did. I was not going to follow up to that word salad. There was the game where Chris Brooks avoids scoring the touchdown, right? To keep the clock running. That's fair. That did occur. But you're 29th in red zone efficiency. It's not just because of kneel downs. And that was the first option he gave. Then he mentioned the penalties and a couple of drops, et cetera, et cetera. But I followed up with someone else instead, seeking a better answer because, as I tell you all the time, it's about the answer, not the question. And while there was nothing wrong with that question, answer, not super helpful. You will hear who I followed up with.
In fairness, the question wasn't that good either, though.
What?
If you're being honest with yours, it wasn't a great question. No,
you don't have to do that, Tosh.
You're just mad at me because I'm
Jason,
plucking pee-stained $100 bills
out of
the urinal.
But you didn't get the answer. Now, that doesn't mean that your next question's not going to be good and get a good answer. You didn't get – you always say – I'm going to use your own words against you. It isn't about the question. It's about the answer. And you just got a word salad. That's what you're trying to avoid. So why am I going to sit here and tell you, great question, word salad? That's the same thing LaFleur just did. You just did – well, he knelt down. We had a couple kneel-down questions. That's what you just did.
It's not, no, it's not true. Sometimes crappy questions get good answers. Sometimes good questions get lame answers, and it doesn't change the fact that you didn't achieve your goal.
It's not the question's fault. Okay. I just want to make sure.
I think he asked a different question we're going to get after him more for later. But
no doubt. And it got a good answer. And a correction later on as well. All right, I want to get to that coming up. I do say that all the time, that it's not about the question, it's about the answer. I also say all the time, make one call, that's all, if you've been injured in an accident. And that, of course, call goes to Grubel Offices. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. David and his team, they've got the best lawyers, they've got the best success rate, they've got everything you're looking for if you ever need to make that call, and hopefully you don't. You can also go to the website to find out more about their history, about all the great things they've done for their clients and in the community, all the connections they have to your favorite sports teams and your favorite charitable organizations. Gruber-Law.com is the website. One call. That's all. 414-276-6666. We will hear that follow-up question to someone other than Matt LaFleur next. You can take your headphones off now. It's Will Dean Tausch.
Will Dean Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
I love the YouTube comments. Jesse calls them YouTube dwellers. I appreciate their witty repartee that they have going on inside the comment section. We'll get back to that. But I want to get to what Jordan Love said about this, because as we've established, I was dissatisfied with the answer I received from Matt LaFleur on this. And look, I asked it the way I did because I really do think, Tausch, that when you look at where this offense is, because they're not satisfied, right? They've missed a ton of opportunities. Their quarterback has thrown interceptions. Their wide receivers have dropped balls. Their offensive line has committed penalties, even though they've been pretty good in protection. You know, Josh Jacobs, frankly, is the one guy, and he did have the fumbles early on in the year, but like, he's the one guy where you could say he's been playing at the top of his game pretty much all season long. And there's a lot more out there for this offense. And that's what I was striving for with my question. And when I asked it of Jordan Love, I would say it went a little bit better.
Jordan, just going back to the red zone. Look, I don't know if there's many teams that can be 30th in red zone or 29th and still top 10 in scoring. Does that tell you that there's a lot still out here for you guys, that you're struggling in the red zone, you're still putting up points, and you're still scoring?
Yeah, no, I think like you said, there's definitely a lot still out there for this offense and some things that we can clean up and be better at. But like I said before, I think that's something that we've done a really good job at so far in the season, is just generating those explosive plays and those big plays that do lead to points. So obviously it's one of those things I talk about consistency, is we put some good drives together, but we just got to go finish when we get down there to the red zone. But, you know, I have no doubt that we'll be able to put up points. And like I said, we got too many good playmakers on this team, and too many guys that once they get the ball in their hands, they can do some good things. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think it's something that we just got to be great at, focus on. And when we get in Fridays into practice, when we get the red zone periods, just being great and being so dialed in that we can transition that over to Sundays.
I don't think we're going to have any problem scoring points. We got too many playmakers.
Oh, snap.
That is a fellow who is very, very, very confident
in what this offense can be if they get their act together. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, and I liked his answer. He acknowledged there's an issue. He is not putting it on anything else. And, you know, players, coaches, I think you always want to kind of take a look from a positive standpoint on what's been going on if you're having some success, and obviously this group has. And you still always want to have a little something that you can work on to get better to show that there's improvement, that you can grow into being even better than what you are. This team obviously has things that they need to grow from. The penalties, the mistakes, the red zone inefficiency. Those are three things that they've struggled with. And with all that said, you're still talking about a really highly ranked offense that's putting up a ton of points and is winning a bunch of games. So what are we going to do when we actually get our blank together? Well, that's how this I would look at it.
It's what I was going for, exactly.
So it's now it's one thing to say, it's another to do. Where it's easy to say all this, well, we'll clean this up.
Sure.
And to be quite honest, I think my biggest concern is that they haven't cleaned it up. The last time we saw this team play, which, again, it's been a while, Detroit, Slop City, USA.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much slop. And even though all of that slop, you still had double the yardage that the so-called juggernaut Detroit Lions offense had. So that's why I said what I said this week is, yeah, Detroit, give them credit. They're a good football team. This team, when it is maxed out and is actually firing on all cylinders, can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. And when they're not, they can't lose to everybody. We've seen it. They've given stuff away, and they still have beaten teams. That's a good place to be, middle of the season. Not a good place to be in January, because sloppy teams don't win championships. Teams that don't take advantage of opportunities don't win championships. This team's got to grow up. And growing up means stop pre-snap penalties, stop turning the football over, especially in scenarios where you don't need to be super aggressive. And if you do that, you're going to be right where you want to be, positioned to go chase a chip. Now go do it. Talking is for you know what. Go out and get it done.
I want to get to me calling Jordan a liar, or sort of calling him a liar. I want to get to what Matt LaFleur had to say about how much it's going to mean for Jordan Love to be healthy. He was a full participant in practice yesterday. He's still listed on the injury report, but the fact that he was a full participant, the fact that they're going to get him all the number one reps, I think that's really interesting and something that we spent some time on. We also, apparently, and I feel like I watched the games pretty closely and then rewatched them, but there's been a shift in the offense, and we did some false advertising yesterday on our show based on what Matt LaFleur said to us yesterday. In fact, it was so interesting to me that I followed up on it. About the evolution of the offense. So we want to get to all those things coming up. But first, Tausch needs to tell us about what Fortrea has going on. That 64-night stay. That's a long time. That's a long time, but they compensate you well if you do it.
And if you're like Jason and you're chasing $100 urine-caked dollars, you definitely need to take a look at what Fortrea's got. They got a lot more cash, and it's not urine-infested. Right now, Jason already mentioned the big boy study. I'm going to tell you about a couple of different ones. And this, big time. Two separate stays, not one 64 at a time. Two separate stays totaling 65 nights with six outpatient visits. $27,463 for your time and part to 27. Jason, that's a lot of bathroom breaks you don't have to take.
It's a lot of hundos. Taking money out of the urinal then, baby.
No, you would not. You refer a friend, you get another $400 per qualified referral. Another study, healthy adults, ages 18 to 60, BMI of 18 to 32, less stays, one stay of 14 nights with 11 follow-ups. $13,000 at $6 in your pocket. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
I do want to read some of these comments in the YouTube section. Starting with Joe, who says, so that's where my $60 went. I don't know if it's the Joe of or not, but that's pretty funny. We'll get to a few more of those, and we'll get to more of what Jordan Love had to say yesterday as the Packers get ready for the dysfunctional Chicago Bears. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. But I won't go for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I have to find you. And as I try to make my way to the ordinary world, I will learn to survive.
All right, Tausch, so we talked about this literally yesterday about the under center stuff.
Yep.
And the importance of the play action game. And apparently, we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Okay.
Which I am 1,000% guilty of this. And apparently, this is the difference between coaches and how they watch film and their level of knowledge and mine. I thought it was still important. And Matt LaFleur basically told us yesterday, starting with Tom Silverstein's questions, that it's not that important and that they're not that much of a play-action team anymore. That it's more about alignments and motions and chips, and it's not as about the straightforward play action game. In fact, when Tom Silverstein asked him about play action being under center, he basically said, well, how do you define play action? Because you might not define it the same way as we do. And Tom Silverstein responded the same way I would have, which is, well, how do you define it? Because that's what matters. And he went on to explain that basically it's not that critical of a piece of what they do offensively anymore, which got my antenna up. So I asked this follow-up.
When you got here, we all kind of learned how one of the best things about your system was the way the runs and the play actions were married up, so opposing defenses didn't know what you were doing until the quarterback hit his third or fourth step. So how does that evolution, what causes that evolution?
I would say adapting to the game. You know, just this is a trendy league, and you see other things that people are having some success with, and then you start implementing, and then all of a sudden you're getting some big chunk plays off of it. I'd say that's probably the primary, and then also personnel definitely plays a factor into how you adapt and evolve over time.
So I don't understand this, because
okay,
I feel like play action is one of the best things you can do because it causes defenders to not know what they're defending, and it causes hesitation. To if I'm a linebacker, I need to make sure that the quarterback still has the football before I rush, or make sure the running back has the ball before I go try to tackle him as he approaches the line of scrimmage. But Matt LaFleur basically told us yesterday that it's not that important anymore. And well, I am befuddled by this.
Yeah.
Can you help me?
We shall see. And, you know, the trendy stuff and the, you know, the jet sweeps and the misdirection and all that stuff, that's been a staple of what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I can go look at what they did with Malik Willis as quarterback, and I
no
can
doubt.
Tell you, they ran play action,
mm-hmm.
and they ran stuff. So the idea that it fits into what your personnel is, totally agree. But if you think that play action and deceiving people and trying to sell things isn't important in offense, I just don't agree. I would vehemently disagree. Now, Matt LaFleur knows a heck of a lot about offense.
Yeah.
And I do think he's staying up on different trends and understanding that defensive line, they're not overly worried. It's become a get to the quarterback, and if you can tackle the running back on the way, they're not a lot of two-gapping and holding spots. So that is one thing. And Bulaga talked a lot about this yesterday. Used to be sell the run. Make sure your pads are down, your hat's down, so that those linebackers feel and hear run so they come up. They're also, defenders are also saying, well, if they're going to get a 5 or 6 yard run, I don't know if you're going to be patient enough to continue to do that. We're going to play more pass. That's the trend, and that I think is what Matt's talking
okay.
about. But if you're looking at it and saying, is play action not important? Oh, then don't run bootlegs and don't do it. I understand you have your crux of what you're doing, but I would bet you money on Sunday you're going to see some play action and you're going to see some success with it. And you also are factoring in Jordan Love ain't been healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to do all that when you have a guy with a busted up knee and a yanked groin? The odds are you're not. So, yes. Does he all of a sudden not believe in the marrying the run and pass, which
is
what he was hired on?
That's what I was wondering.
And Jason, the answer is no. He still believes in that tenet, but you do have to be willing to adjust. And if people are going to blitz and come after you and have a bunch where you're going to have to not really even be able to sell the fake because you have mugged up linebackers and you're going to have to abort the play action or the run part of the play action, then yes, then it isn't as effective.
Okay.
But it's about figuring out what that defense is doing and then being able to set yourself up by dictating what they can do. And you do that by being really good in the run game. So while Matt, I'm not going to dare say that I know more about this offense than Matt LaFleur, because I don't.
Of course not.
But what I do know is football, and I understand what linebackers and what defensive linemen, their goals. And I know if somebody's running the ball down their throat, they're not going to just continue to scream up the field. And when they right. don't do that, that's when you start hitting them with play actions and bootlegs. And by the way, I still feel like I see a lot of bootlegs, which is a form of play action,
yep.
to Tucker Kraft out in the flat, to Romeo Doubs on an over route. Mm-hmm. So while it might not be the staple that it was, to poo-poo it and say it's not as important, or depending on what you view as play action, it still is about deceiving those linebackers and safeties and trying to slow down pass rushers. That is, in essence, what you're trying to get done. And if you want to say it's not a typical play action pass, you have, it's your offense. You can say what you want.
Right.
And you can implement it. But the basic principles of football, they're never going to change. It's just about how you're going to adjust and adapt and execute.
And if you're not going to run play action, that's fine. But if you are going to run it, Tausch is going to say, oh, pour me in, coach, because I still believe in its value.
Indeed, from a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito Rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and whatever your heart desires. You're calling the game. You change up your roster or wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
How important is it that Jordan Love is close to 100% healthy? We will tackle that, and we'll get a little anecdote of maybe a little amnesia that he suffered during the bye week. I'll explain that when we kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll do it in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.